Welcome back, everybody. Hello, world. Hello, SFG fans. Hello, Arsenal fans alike. Welcome to episode 12 of SFG Podcast with your host, yours truly, Lion Zion 4, aka Lion Zion 4, BKA Lion Zion 4. Everybody should know me by now as Lion Zion 4. I am here with my co-host, Mr. Scruffy Face, the Scruffy One. Sick, how you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Enjoying these better days while they're here.
Hold your breath, right? Look now. But we have won our last four. Holy crap.
Feels good. Been?
It feels good when you're winning, right? Feels really, 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 really good. And yeah, man, I've been wanting to do this pod for a little bit of time now because we're back to winning ways. As we thought, you know, we said when we were losing, we were on those losing streaks, that it was a long season and sooner or later it was going to come back tenfold. And now look, you know, four wins on the bounce. And I think the boys are looking really good. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people didn't realize that this year our schedule at the beginning of the year was very tough. We had, I want to say, from the top six, we damn near played everybody once already. So it was a tough start of the season. But you know, now that we have a few games to where we have, you know, some of the lower teams that we can kind of build our confidence back up, figure a few things out, it's definitely a lot better. So it's, you know, like you said, you know, some better days. Can finally enjoy some better football. But definitely. Yeah, man, it's been a good few weeks.
Yeah, it's definitely been we've been enjoying a good run of play, and I definitely think that's due to Arteta playing the kids more, but we'll get in to that more later on into the pod. But for now, just wanted to start off with where we're at right now. So Arsenal has won their last four games. I know when we last did our last pod, I think it was with Shane. Shout out to Shane. To Shane Malcolm, Komodo Dragon, for helping us
out
definitely.
On
the pod.
Definitely.
We definitely got the dub that day, so no hard feelings there. We'll definitely get him back again, hopefully soon. Since the Chelsea game, we've gone on to beat Brighton, West Brom, and Newcastle in the Cup, in FA Cup, just most recently. And tomorrow we have coming up Crystal Palace. Arsenal Palace tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for all you guys on the East Coast. So we wanted to definitely start off with a preview of that game, and then we'll go back towards we'll backtrack to the last four games. So for the newer viewers that want to get their up to date Arsenal stats and analysis, we will definitely come back to that. But Palace is currently sitting, I think, 15th in the league. No, not 15th. They're currently sitting at 13th in the league, yeah? 13th in the league. up and down. They actually haven't been a bad team per se. It has been a tough outfit at times. We've historically have not been playing really great against Palace as of late. Actually, quick fun fact. Arsenal are winless in their last four Premier League matches against Palace.
I was gonna say, you beat me to it. I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, so definitely three ties, one loss. Their longest winless run against the Eagles in the top flight since they've been in the top flight. So it almost feels like remember a couple years back where we just couldn't beat Southampton? Remember that? Where it's just like every time we played Southampton, we would just end up losing or drawing against them. Yeah, that's kind of how Palace has been for us. But in all competitions, Palace has registered just 5 wins in 47 previous matches against Arsenal. So, you know, they've been unbeaten in the last two at the Emirates. It's been pretty bad against whenever we've came against us. So, in either case, I definitely am expecting a win. But let's take a look at where the team is at right now. So, the possible – we'll start off with the injury report before we talk about the lineup. Really good news. Two different types of news, but both good news, right? We'll start off with Thomas Partey. They said he's fit and available for selection finally. So that is a huge, huge upgrade for us. We've been waiting for this since he came off injury against Spurs, which was like, what, a few months ago? Feels like a lifetime ago. So,
well, it was maybe about a month and a half now, I'd say, give or take.
Yeah, so
not too long. It wasn't too bad, but it should have been avoided. But, you know, we already spoke about our thought on, you know, him kind of wanting to get back for the derby. And you know, even though I felt like it was a little bit rushed, but it's understandable why they kind of did that. Because, you know, obviously it's a really big game. You want to beat Tottenham. So you want to, you know, obviously throw out your strongest team. So it's definitely understandable. But I think time we actually took our time with him and definitely, you know, waited till he was 100%. Actually, like, now that you bring him up, I was surprised that we didn't give him, you know, maybe even like 10 minutes in the Newcastle game earlier in the week. Or on the weekend, sorry. But I figured that, you know, we'd give him maybe a 10-15 minutes to kind of get, you know, a little bit of game-like situations under his belt before the Crystal Palace game. But we'll see. I mean, we obviously have been playing really well without him. So I could just only imagine how much better we're going to be once he's in the midfield, you know, obviously doing his thing, because he makes us better no matter what.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why we bought him. So, sure. You know, it's going to be exciting to see him play tomorrow. It's tough. Obviously, we'll go over the lineups that we both think, but it's going to be a joy to see him back on that bench, at least if he doesn't start. So,
yeah. Sounds good. Yeah, so definitely, I pretty much echoing all your sentiments. I think, you know, he's obviously an upgrade to what we have currently, and him just being fit and on the bench adds a different depth to our team. So that's great. Let's go to Gabriel Magalhães first. So he had coronavirus, and Arteta revealed yesterday or today's press conference that he's better now. Quote, he is better now. We expect him to be training with us in a couple days, and we will make an assessment whether we can have him or not on Thursday. So, so he's been back in training since then, and from what we've been hearing, and he may or not be back. But I mean, look, the way that Pablo Mari's been playing right now, I almost want to say we're not missing Gabriel, because he's been. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely having a purple patch, as of right now. And I'm a guy that wasn't a firm believer in Pablo Mari. I felt that, even though, what was it, 16 million, right? Maybe less than that, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think it was a little less, but
yeah. But I wasn't.
It's nothing more than that. I'll tell you that.
I wasn't a huge fan of the purchase, mainly because I felt like we needed. It was at the time where we really needed a center back, and you know, we didn't get the center back options that we had that we were looking at, and we ended up getting him. And obviously, with COVID happening, it was just a rough time for him. And then him getting hurt against Man City, you know, his former team, where he probably didn't even really have any business playing against because he wasn't at all ready. Since then, I mean, he's been great. I mean, he has shown that he can definitely be relied upon. And I think moving forward, especially with Rob Holding signing a contract extension this week, I think Arteta has seen that, you know, the future of Arsenal's, you know, it will probably be end up being 4 to 5 center backs. And I think it's as of now, as of today, it looks like Rob Holding, Gabriel, hopefully William Saliba, if he stays fit, and then we get another center back, another premier center back, and we figure it out from there. Another right sided center back, I'm assuming, because Saliba and Pablo are the left sided center back. So we're looking at two left-sided center backs in Pablo and Gabriel, and then hopefully two right-sided center backs in Rob Holding and whoever that other center back we should hopefully get would be. And I'm cool with that. I hope David Luiz should be gone after next year. Mustafi, Socrates, all these guys should be gone. Callum Chambers more than likely should be gone too as well, unless he has a shot to maybe be our fifth center back. But I'm good with that. I'm good with the future. As long as we find, like I said, a right-sided center back that's a premier center back that could play next to either Gabriel or Saliba or Pablo, then, you know, I'm good with it. You know, so I like how Arteta is building this back line. Obviously, we have one of the best back line, one of the best left backs in the Premier League, which I said since the day he got here, and I'm so glad he started to get the recognition that he deserves, and that's Kieran Tierney, of course, and we'll talk about his performances as of late in the later parts of the podcast. But between Bellerin, Ingram, Maitland-Niles, and Cedric, I feel like we have a good right back there somewhere, and we have one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League, so. You know, the back line was obviously something of a priority to deal with first, which is why mm-hmm. we still have issues with the midfield and with the attacking third, because you can't just fix everything in one day, right? And one window can't fix all your problems. You need multiple windows. So this window, I'm expecting us to hopefully go for a center mid, but I digress. We're getting away from the topic here. The best news on the injury front has to be Martinelli, right?
Yeah, I agree.
He was obviously unable to play in the FA Cup match, which he was starting against Newcastle because of an injury he had prior to the game starting in warm-ups. And everyone said it didn't look good, especially Arteta. He was going for a scan, and the scans came back negative. And Arteta stated that he could even be available for selection tomorrow, which I probably highly doubt he will be. But, yeah. So, this is incredible news. I would have been super, super disappointed, hurt, sad, and you know, and all the above, all the feelings, all the negative and feelings you can have about, you know, someone in sympathy for a player like Martinelli who fought his way back into back from injury last year just to get into the first team, and you know, has been playing great since he's gotten back. And the injury just felt like, man, not again. You know, we started to have shades of Jack Wilshere and Diaby and Aaron Ramsey and all these other guys, right? You just think, here we go again. But he's been able to avoid it, which is great. This is an amazing thing. And hopefully, if he doesn't play today, which I mean tomorrow, which I highly doubt he will, we'll see him at the weekend or on Monday.
Yeah, man, I agree. And, you know, not to go back, but I told you about Pablo. I said it.
I tried to just skip over that.
I know. I'm gonna bring that right back up. I told you, bro. He's a lot more solid than people have given him credit for, and
like myself.
Even though before, yeah, not gonna lie, agreed. But he, you know, he didn't play much before his injury. So, you know, I understand why people thought that. But he was solid, man. But, you know, not to get off the topic again. It's really good to see that Gabriel is back training with the team. And like you said, hopefully he can play tomorrow, at least be on the bench. Because I honestly don't think he's going to start. I think he'll definitely, if he does start a game, it'll probably be on Monday when we play against Newcastle again, if he does come back. But as of now, I think he's, you know, just going to ease back into it and be a sub and be like that spark player if we need it, you know. So I'm definitely glad to see that he is, you know, getting back fit and avoiding the injuries, because he deserves it. He's somebody that works super hard and, you know, he takes care of himself, but he's just had a few unlucky injuries, and it's just really good to see that he's kind of, you know, overcoming them a little bit. So that's definitely a good sight to see.
Definitely. I agree with that completely. It's you know what's funny is Arsenal normally hit the injury bug around this time, right? It's normally like this December, January time, and it's like, fuck, we're all injured, and we're gonna go into the second half of the season banged up, and it's like, it's the opposite, finally, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say we actually avoided that this year.
It's well, we had the injuries, but it's like it was before
the time where we actually really pick up all the injuries.
And that's what I was saying. So getting into the second half of the business end of the season, it's normal that it normally happens when we're banged up, and it's now it's quite the opposite, right? Where we're at the point now where we're getting guys back in time for the business end of the season. You know, even Calvin Chambers, you know, looks like he's ready to be playing. Hopefully he goes on loan. But if he's there, we have another guy. You know what I mean? Just another set of players that are ready to play, if anything. And I think it's good, man. It's really good going into the second half of the season, where we're going to have a lot of games coming up in terms of Europa League, FA Cup, we're still in, and the Premier League. So now looking at Palace, I definitely, you know, want to point out that they're danger guys. I think obviously we all know Wilfried Zaha, a player that wanted to be in Arsenal, that I've always been an admirer of. He's never really been a volume goal scorer, but I mean, he's always been a dangerous guy to have on your team. Yeah. And he's always kept Palace afloat, man. I mean, since he's carried Palace to the first division. And have they been relegated since he's been there? I don't think so.
No, they haven't.
I mean, since he left and went to United and came back, I don't think they've been relegated.
No, they haven't.
Yeah, they haven't. And they've avoided relegation plenty of times because of Wilfried Zaha. So definitely a fan of his skill set, and a player that definitely we should be watching out for. Also, one of their young players, Eberechi Eze. I mean, yeah, this kid, true nice. Ballers FC, one of the better young talents in England right now. And I mean, this kid, since watching him at QPR, the last few years, is another baller. And he was actually another Arsenal youth player that came up through the youth ranks. And I think he in 2014, he got cut or I would assume he got let go. Or let go or something like that.
Yeah.
He went to Fulham, and then he went to Reading, and I think he was at Millwall for a little bit, and then finally landed at QPR, where he, you know, 104 apps, 20 goals. He went to Wycombe Wanderers for a little bit, and then at Crystal Palace, just had a really, really good year at Palace, where then he had at Palace, really good year so far this year, coming on as a substitute and playing, I think, 15 apps, 2 goals so far. 22 years old, played for England U20s and U21s in the last couple years. Again, just a baller, just a kid that likes to go at players, right? Very, very, very skilled dribbler, really good technically gifted dribbler on the ball, and can score goals too. So
I'm surprised he hasn't gotten any more starts under his belt. I feel like he definitely should be getting more starts under his belt.
Palace doesn't usually play with a 10. I think it's like a flat 4-4-2, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but he plays out wide. He plays out wide. And Zaha's up top. Yeah. That's why I'm surprised that he hasn't gotten more game time.
But yeah, me too. It is a bit of a surprise. So hopefully he doesn't start tomorrow. But if he does, that's definitely a player to watch out for. And Palace, the last 3 games haven't been bad. They beat Sheffield 2-0. They tied Leicester, actually, in the Premier League before that. And then, you know, obviously the 3-0 against Villa they took, and then the 7 they took against Liverpool weren't great results. But outside of that, I mean, 1-1 against West Ham, the West Ham team that we struggled against, where they got a red card. 1-1 against Tottenham. They've been quite decent against the bigger teams. They beat Leeds 4-1. You know, they've lost to Wolves 2-0, but also had a red card issue. They beat United 3-1 earlier in the season, and really early in the season around September. So I mean, this is a team that definitely, I mean, look, they're not West Brom, right? They're not Sheffield. They're not, you know, they could be in the relegation battle this year depending on how it goes, but I think they're much better than those two teams. Brighton as well. So it will definitely be an interesting game. But let's go into the possible lineups. What do you think about? Let me see. Before I ask you that. Actually, yeah, let's just start there. What do you think about the possible lineups? I personally think we'll go for we'll go close to the same thing we've been playing in the Premier League. But if you want to go first, or you want me to tell you? You want me to tell you mine?
I'll go first.
All right, yeah.
I think we're gonna go. Honestly, I don't think we changed much. Only one change I have, honestly, is it's gonna be obviously the back five, including Leno. I say that's the back five. Leno and goal on the right, Bellerin, Holding and Mari, and then Tierney on the left. The two in the middle would be Xhaka and Partey. At the 10 will be Smith Rowe. On the right will be Saka. On the left will be Aubameyang, and then up top will be Lacazette. That's what I think we go with.
I pretty much agree with all of that. That's pretty much what I had. I think if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? There's no need to fix it, you know?
Yeah. I was gonna say Gabriel for Mari, but I don't know if he is back 100%. So I'm just gonna go with Mari since I know he's 100% fit. But that would be the only difference that I would make. But that's my starting lineup. I wouldn't really change much. At the end of the day, Gabriel is gonna have to win back his spot now that he got that silly red card, which you know is his fault for not being able to be on the field. So at the end of the day, that center back is playing very well, and now you're gonna have to earn your spot back. I know he definitely was one of our better, he was our best center back at the time. But hey, he made that mistake. The player that came in is doing their job, so I can't just not reward that player for, you know, doing their thing. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it would be wrong for Arteta to just put him back into the lineup, considering he's always had the same philosophy that if you put in the work and you earn your spot, you should be able to keep it. So, you know, it would be wrong for him to do that. I still do think Gabriel's the better center back. However,
I wouldn't go that far to say that Mari is better than him. That's for sure.
But as of right now, there's no reason.
Exactly. There's no reason to take him out, in my opinion. So, would you make any changes to that lineup, or what you're saying?
Nah, I don't think so. I think right at this point, it's probably best to do it this way, especially, you know, with the schedule being on our side, right? It's not like we're playing City next week, you know what I mean, or anything like that, where we have to make some tough decisions. I think given the amount of games that we have and the time, it's perfect to ease Partey in. I give Partey 15 minutes tomorrow if we're up, or even if we're down. I mean, I think you definitely play him tomorrow. I think you give, you know, if you can, I think you try to give maybe Pepe, get him some minutes as well. You didn't have him in your lineup, right? You had Saka on the right. You said you didn't have Pepe.
Yeah, Saka on the right, yeah. No, I did not have Pepe.
Aubameyang on the left, right? Yeah, I will give Pepe some minutes as well.
Definitely.
10, 15 if you can. So there's definitely, you know, plenty of options. I think Arteta definitely has options, but I agree. I think you start that same exact team. I think where we're at as a team right now, the kids definitely have helped tremendously, right? We all know how great Emile Smith Rowe's been, how great Saka has been, how great even Tierney is. I don't consider him a kid, but a younger player on the team who's playing like, you know, a future captain. How you know. A lot of these guys have been playing. It's been really instrumental to our success, and I'm hoping that we just keep it rolling. Hopefully these guys avoid injury. That's probably the best thing. So knock on wood, there, avoid the injury. But I definitely think that we're in a good spot right now with these kids, and we got to keep playing them, man. Keep playing them until you can't play them anymore.
I honestly think the kids are gonna be the ones that help us get out of this little hole that we're in, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. get us back going, which obviously they already started. And, you know, it shows how much more, you know, enthusiasm and, like, more passion we're playing with when they play. But I just feel like they just give us, you know, that little bit of edge that we need when it comes to, you know, working very hard. Because a lot of the players that he was playing before, believe it or not, are older players. They're not – it's not like they're young players. They're old. So mm-hmm. – the running aspect of it is going to be very limited. Maybe you'll get one game where they're running really hard, but at the end of the day, you're asking a bunch of 29 to 32 year olds to clock in X amount of miles or kilometers a freaking game. That's mm-hmm. not going to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
And I also felt like that was a little bit of a problem that, you know, he had when it came to adjusting to those types of players. Yes, they're on our team, but you gotta, you know, be smart enough to make those adjustments, because mm-hmm. you're asking certain players to do all this running, and they might be fit, but at the end of the day, for them to be able to keep that up for the whole season, nah, I don't think that's very much likely. So that's my take on you know, us playing some of the older players for so long and not adjusting how we play. So,
and I agree with that. I do think that as a manager, that's your job, right? Your manager is you're managing players for your first yep. team, so you're supposed to be able to manage this person playing this much, this person playing this much. If this guy's on form, maybe he needs to get on. And then taking it to another level, you're supposed to be managing contracts. You're supposed to be not really managing contracts in a literal sense, but managing players that need to get game. And I say that because of Balogun's situation, right? As a manager, that's kind of your responsibility. If the player wants mm-hmm. to play and says, hey, you know, you're in a situation where he's about to leave, it's only you. A dude can't go and make the first team, first 11 or the bench. That's your job, right? So if you see that and you say, dang, well, I really need to get this kid some games and he's a talent, and maybe it's at the risk of one of these players, then that's a decision you're ultimately making, because if he does leave because of that reason, that only falls on one person, right? You know, it doesn't fall on Edu. It doesn't fall on Raul. It doesn't fall on, you know, on the Kroenkes. It only falls on Arteta, because he's leaving because apparently, this is allegedly, he wants to stay. He loves the club, but he also wants to play. He wants to be in first team plans. And there's only one person in charge of that, you know? So,
yeah.
I guess we'll
see. And my thing about that is, yes, I understand, like, you know, if you have, strikers in front of him that are, you know, firing on all cylinders, and then, you know, you have that striker that wants the game time, you know, he's the young person, and he's on the outside looking in. And the thing with him is he's getting his games, and he's capitalizing on it. This man has been scoring. He's been scoring in the games that he's gotten his chance to play in. And that's the thing with me, is I feel like he's been producing. So it's not like he has been, you know, just kind of getting on the field and not really doing much. He's really been producing every time he's played in the Europa League games that he's gotten a chance in. So that's why I'm trying to figure out, like, why is he not playing in certain games, especially these cup games. Like, I feel like he should be, you know, at least the second name off the sheet, you know, because for one, you can rest the Aubameyangs and the Lacazettes and whatnot and give him a run. So that's why I'm kind of confused about why he hasn't gotten a little bit more game time when it comes to, you know, this season. So I'm curious to see how that plans out and how that goes, but it's going to be very upsetting if he ends up leaving by the end of the year and not signing that contract. I'm going to be pretty upset.
I'm going to be pretty upset too, man. I mean, it just reeks of Serge Gnabry all over again. And it's even worse because Surge, I mean, once he went, he actually had first team experience before and got hurt. And that was the main reason why he was out of the first team. And then when he came back, you know, we didn't have space for him. Not really didn't have space for him. Guys like 3-0 Walcott was in his contract situation, and we just handled it very poorly. In this case, though, I mean, it's Eddie that's in front of him. And Eddie's a player that, even though maybe Arteta likes him, I think most would say that this kid's probably a bigger talent than Eddie Nketiah is at this point in time, right now, today. Who knows what the future holds? But as of today, if I'm picking in that Arsenal team, I think I'm going with Balogun. So if Arteta is going to be stubborn enough to say, well, I like Eddie this much and I'm going to keep him, then you're willing to let go of Balogun then for Eddie. And I feel like if you let Balogun go at the end of this year, or you don't play him and then he leaves only for you to sell Eddie, now you've lost two players for no reason. You see what I'm saying? And I think that's very poor player management if that ends up happening that way. Very, very, very poor player management. So we'll see, man. I hope he stays. I really hope he gets on the field sometime, especially with Europa League coming to, you know, going into the business end of the tournament, FA Cup going to the business end. It's going to be difficult for him to get games. I think it's going to be very difficult. With Lacazette, you're not going to drop Lacazette or Aubameyang anytime soon. So, and I think those are the guys that are going to be playing your big games, right? Your Premier League games and your Europa League games, which only leaves FA Cup. And then as it gets closer to FA Cup semifinals and quarterfinals and semifinals and stuff, you may be playing Lacazette even there in that role again too. So, I mean, Eddie, it was hard enough for Eddie to get on the field. I think Eddie's barely been on the field the last four games that we've won.
Yeah, so I honestly don't even remember seeing him on the bench. I could be wrong, though, but I really don't remember seeing him on the bench, really.
Yeah, so
to be honest,
I don't know, man. It's going to be difficult, and I hope Arteta really takes some time and handles this correctly. So we'll see on that. But so enough about the Palace games. We'll go with score predictions first.
You want to go first or?
You
can go first.
Yeah, I'll go first. I'm going to go 2-0. Clean sheet. 2-0 to the Arsenal. It's kind of cliche, right? But I'm going 2-0.
That's crazy. I was going to go 2-0 too, but I will go 3-1.
Okay. Who you got goals for today?
Three. I have Lacazette getting a goal. I have Pepe getting a goal. And I have Saka scoring. And then for them, I have Zaha scoring.
Okay. Yeah, I have, if I go 2-0, I have Aubameyang scoring. And I have, I'm going to go Emile Smith Rowe. Aubameyang, Emile Smith Rowe. Lacazette with an assist. I'm
one of them. Yeah, the reason why I didn't go Aubameyang scoring because I had him assisting as well. So, which I definitely would like for him to score, but if he's getting the assist, then you know it's okay. As long as we're winning, all the eyes and the questions about him not scoring won't be as crazy in my opinion. So, I just need us to keep winning and him to just be a vocal point as in our build up, and you know kind of the rest is history. So
yeah, I understand. So we'll see, man. Again, so hopefully we'll have another win, and that would bring us even closer to the, I think we're 3 points behind the top half of the table. I think we're just 3 points behind 10th place. 7 points.
Three points behind ninth too.
Yeah, tied for ninth. So we could
be. We might even be less than 3 points. We're 3 points behind the three teams in front of us. So if those three teams, Villa has two games in hand, but if those three teams either tie or lose, then we can jump ahead and go to eighth place. So I ain't mad at it.
I hear you on that. And we'll see. We'll see, man. Like I said, the schedule is in our favor right now. We're finally getting to the point where we can start handling these games and start rotating and things like that too. So we'll definitely see. We'll definitely see from there. So
So anyways, that'll be it for today's podcast. Looks like we're doing a real quick one. We're just going to do the preview of this game. And after this game, we're probably going to get another pod this weekend to do a post-game analysis of Palace and also speak about transfers and as well as a recap of the last four games. Hopefully, the last five games, five-game win streak, hopefully, by this weekend, barring that the game goes well against Palace. So we definitely appreciate it, everyone that's been giving us positive feedback. Once again, thank you guys for everything. We've been getting a lot of DMs about when the next pod's going to be, about ideas, about guests, things like that. You guys have been super engaged. So thank you very much. We're just definitely going to take it to the next level for 2021. So we do appreciate you guys for all your support and all the listens. And again, if you have any suggestions, any podcast ideas, anything that you want us to speak about that we haven't, feel free to reach out to us at SF Gooner on Instagram, sfgooner4@gmail.com and sfgooner4 on Twitter. Anything else, Sick?
Yeah, man, just to, you know, kind of add on to that, I definitely appreciate everything that you guys have been, you know, telling us and all the feedback that we've been getting. Like you said, if you guys have any, you know, suggestions or any other feedback, just continue to let us know. But yeah, man, we are definitely trying to turn this up soon, man. So it's a pleasure to have the support that you guys have been giving us. And yeah, man, it's just a blessing. So I just wanted to say thank you from the both of us again. And we'll definitely keep coming up with some fire content for you guys.
Sounds good. That's all I got. All right. Well, if nothing else, everybody have a safe night. Everybody have a great day. And hopefully a Gooner victory tomorrow. Peace.
Yes, sir. Peace.